Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Welcome to this podcast episode. I'm so delighted to have Christy Mattoon here with us. She's the owner of Mind Rewire Tools for Subconscious Change. And as you all know, the subconscious has a lot to do with how we navigate trauma. So I'm delighted to hear Christy's perspective on that today. Christy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So let's begin here. What inspired you to start working with the subconscious and working with trauma?
Basically, what's inspired me is my own trauma story, you know, and everybody seems to have one, but mine started with a recognition as I basically hit 300 pounds, full of illnesses, autoimmune issues, and of course, I equated that to lifestyle and food issues, which was pretty smart to start with because it got me healthy, it got me fit. But what I found out in the aftermath with it was that there was a horrible underlying feeling that I always had, and I never could figure out what it was. And so the trauma that I had to start piecing, or the story of trauma that I started piecing together, went way back into my childhood. And what I noticed was that there was just really weird things always going on around me, things that I never could make any sense of. And so going to therapists, doing all these different things that, you know, we typically do for this sort of thing, the guy actually uncovered the fact that I didn't remember my childhood. The interesting part was I didn't even know that I didn't know my childhood. I didn't know I had no memories of it until, you know, he said it to me. And I was like, well, that's interesting and strange. And going through that, what I found out was he never did anything to reconcile that in my system. So the feelings that I had left from my childhood were still left in my system. Had nothing to do with memories because I didn't have memories. But the feelings got stronger and stronger over time, just like people describe sometimes their memories getting stronger. And so it was actually my own will to handle the trauma, to take care of whatever it was that was going on inside my system, that led me to work with trauma, that led me into basically what I do now, which is try and help people resolve trauma, whether they have a memory of it or not. And it's just trying to get that feeling calmed down inside their system.
Christy, that's a really powerful story. And do you feel like making that kind of powerful decision is the first step towards healing?
You know, I think even before making that, I mean, the first step always begins with recognition. You have to become aware of what the problem even is. And sometimes people will literally come to me just going, something isn't right. I don't know what isn't right, but something, like nothing ever works, I don't feel good, I feel stuck, and that's pretty much all they know. One of my biggest first aha moments was the thought that I can't sit down. I could never let myself sit down and relax, and it just made no sense, but nobody could ever figure out what that was. And it led literally back into, you know, a time in my childhood, and that's when I started piecing it together, and not from a memory, but just from a feeling, and then something a brother said. So literally just piecing things together. So you have to become aware of it. You have to like know that there's a feeling, know that something isn't right, and then just decide, okay, I'm going to do something to change this.
Do you feel, I realize I'm asking these questions because this is up for me and a couple of my clients right now.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like you have to believe that the trauma can be healed before it is healed?
Do you have to believe it can be healed? I think it helps. I didn't know in my own story, I didn't know that there was such a thing as healing trauma until it was healed. And I was like, whoa, that's interesting. One of the predominant things that was in the back of my head all the time was, I hate you. And never knew where that came from, but I just thought it was like, okay, that's just whatever that is. I didn't even know what it was until one day I heard, I love you. And I was like, huh, that was different and bizarre. Like, I didn't even know how to put words to it. It was so strange inside my head. But it was all the combination of different things I was doing that all of a sudden led to this place where I could look in a mirror and go, wow, you're pretty decent person. Like, this, I do love you. And that, in that moment, I finally recognized and was able to feel that it could be changed, because in that moment it changed. So do you have to believe it? You know, I don't know. I work with I can't even explain all the time people coming and saying, it just doesn't feel right. I don't know what to do. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in, like, the list of stuff is endless. And I always come back to the same thing. Do you believe in yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Because if you believe in that, we've got a ledge to stand on. If we've got something that can help just, like, keep stepping you forward, even if it's an inch at a time, and usually that inch equates into this realm as more of a mile, right? Those little tiny degree movements, when you actually look across reality, get really huge really fast. So I think anything can be healed. I'm totally of the mind right now that I've seen so many cool, amazing things that if we can align, it's basically about aligning your system. Right? Believe it, don't believe it, whatever. If your system is out of alignment with something that happened in your past, with a trauma, with whatever the thing is, even if it was your mother's trauma, if we can align your system back up to the things that point back to what your soul and what your spirit really need and want, we've got to win. It makes a huge difference.
Nice. Yeah, and I speak about alignment as well a lot in my business, but I want to get your particular perspective on what it means to align to the soul. How does someone know that they are not in alignment?
Things aren't working. If you're in fear, if you're in any of the negative emotions and you're just stuck there, you're not in alignment. You're out of alignment when you go to do something and you stop yourself, right? The old idea of self-sabotage. Right? If you're constantly doing things that inhibit your movement forward, you're out of alignment. And from levels from, you know, the brain to the cells of your body, to the soul, to the spirit, to God, right? However you draw the line, if you're out of alignment in any of those areas, and we always are because we're human. Like, is it possible to stay totally in alignment all the time? I definitely have not made it there. Right? So is it possible? I guess maybe if you're the monk on the mountain, but we can definitely start tilting and angling it closer and closer so that things work easier and easier. Because I fully do not believe at this point that this is supposed to be as hard as we've made it. And I think it can get easier the more pieces and parts you get aligned with your purpose.
Christy, I love what you're saying, and I just keep wanting to dig deeper, and I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah, totally is.
I have found with entrepreneurs that sometimes having ease or grace or flow is more terrifying than staying in fear and in that self-sabotage or resistance pattern. Can you speak to that at all?
Well, I think the ease, the grace, the flow, right, that's part of being in alignment. If you come from a home of trauma, chances are you've never truly been in alignment. So your home, right, your home plate, your starting base is out of alignment. That is what you know. That's why it's easier. That's why we go towards that, because it makes sense to us. If I'm hurting, if I'm scared, that's so comfortable. Even though it doesn't work, it's so comfortable, I keep going back there. If we have to step into ease, grace, and flow, and it's not something we've ever really done before, even if it makes sense, like cognitively, it can make the most sense of anything I've ever done in my whole life, right? And I can stand back and look at it and 15 different people can be telling me the same thing, and I go do these master's groups and all of these things that tell me the same thing. But if that's not my normal and that's not my homeostasis, when I step into it, it's so scary, I will crawl right back into the fear every single time. So you literally have to retrain yourself. And it's not, we talk about retraining the brain all the time. It's not just the brain, it's every cell of your body. And you have to almost train yourself that the unknown is fun. The unknown is like, you got to step into that unknown place, because until you do, you're never going to know what's on the other side, that it's not scary. It's not a place of fear, right? It doesn't have to be that way. It can be ease, grace, and flow. But the unknown is so unknown, and we want to stay so uncomfortable, we will jump back into our fear every time. But it's literally, I think, for the people that I work with, it's turned into retraining more on a cellular level, and especially people who have dealt with past trauma, you know, childhood kind of stuff. If we're stuck in that place, we're retraining the cells. How do you feel different? We want to give the cells, every cell of your body, a new way to feel, to bypass that trauma and to move beyond it.
Wonderful. And are you able to touch on at all how to begin to retrain the cells, or what is a practice that you use with your clients to support them in recalibrating or realigning at that cellular level?
Yeah, one of the things that I do is I use a whole brain state to get people into a position where the brain is open, and we, you know, we can step into the subconscious. You know, we kind of wedge that door open between conscious and subconscious, and you step in there and start giving new information to the person. If you think about a traumatic issue, there was a minute before it, usually. You step into that minute before it where none of this had happened. So, you know, we talk about, a lot of therapists and trauma people will talk about inner children work. You got to go work with that inner child that had the issue or the trauma. If you stay there working with that person, you can stay there for years working with that person, right, with that inner child. And the inner child will always have another issue. There's always another. It's so hard to overcome that inner child. If you go a moment before him and train the child before him how to be powerful and give him tools to walk through the situation that, because of hindsight, you know is about to happen, guess what happens to that issue? All of a sudden, your perception of it changes, because the person before him is powerful. He can do anything he needs to do. So we walk through that issue pretty easily once you change it from a minute before it. If you have a person who's got something, you know, backed up as far as like even at birth, right? We're talking pre-verbal, teeny tiny little people who just had no chance. You know, you go all the way back into the cellular structure when it's popping into creation. If your subconscious mind doesn't know time and we go talk to that person, you can input all kinds of information into those cells and give them all kinds of movement. You know, you talk about grace and flow. You can even give them the concept of grace. What does that even mean? How do you live by grace if your whole life you were never afforded it? How do you even understand it? When we go back and talk to that, to those cells, you know, as they're popping into creation, you're inputting new information. And then guess what happens? You've got a whole new person standing in front of you. If this person walks forward through time to the age they are now, and you don't even have to input it, it's already in there. You walk into your day, and I always tell folks the same thing, just go notice what's different, because that's the next set of information that we work off of. What's different? What are you noticing? What are you doing? How are you acting? How are you reacting? Because now everything has changed. Usually.
Excellent.
There's always that one person, usually.
Well, and I love that paradigm of return to who you were as a soul before the trauma happened, and equip that part of you with the tools needed to stand powerfully in your wholeness.
Yeah.
How does this
fit? It just makes more sense.
Oh, it totally does. How does this fit, if at all, with Louise Hay's work around healing your body, for example?
That's a good question. How does it fit in with Louise Hay? I would imagine, So, and disease is a whole nother process, right? So if you have gone through a disease process, you know, and pick one, it doesn't even matter what it is, and you try and step the minute before it, it's hard to do because we don't always know when it started. And even with the trauma, you don't always know. So you're just kind of picking the best place, right? But in healing a disease, if you've already derailed organs, or, you know, you've catastrophized a part of the body to the point that it literally isn't working anymore, you know, from surgery to removal of an organ to, right, trying to reset the system at that standpoint, can be a little bit tougher. I fully believe it can be done, but it's definitely a little bit tougher because you're not only overcoming your own mind's objections, you're overcoming your body's objections. You're overcoming objections that doctors put into your system, you know, that family members put into your system. It's a whole different realm. And you're trying to heal an organ, a system, a body part, whatever the thing is. But I think if you go back into the cellular structure again, and you're feeding information, you know, and I call it the blueprint, right? Go back to the original DNA. What did it look like before? What was it supposed to look like? Can you reset it from that angle and then walk it forward and see what starts changing in the system? You know, and I always tell people too, you have to realize we're still landlocked. We're locked in a reality here, right? The earth is based on time. This realm is based on, you know, movement through time, basically. So if we lock something into your cells, you have to keep doing the right things in that movement. You can't go back to, you know, doing something that's going to derail the process. You have to do all the stuff after the reset to make sure it stays in alignment with the process that you're setting forward on. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And what I'm hearing you speak about underneath all of this, which is very exciting, because I also talk about alignment between the fifth and the fourth and the third dimensions. What I'm hearing you say is understand your soul's blueprint, your unique wholeness, how you're designed to be in the world, align the level of your mind to that, and then align your physicality to that as well.
Right. Right, because in this realm, it's all together. It's all, you gotta put it back together. We keep trying to take it apart and live in this realm as if it's separate things, and it's not.
Right.
It all goes hand in hand in hand. So if it's just like the, you know, doctors trying to take your body apart and fix your heart separate from your foot, it's still a part of the same unit. And if my toe's offline and my heart keeps skipping a beat, you put my toe back in its socket and my heart problem calms down. What does that mean? Like, it's so weird, right? It just doesn't even make any sense, but it works that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we, you know, if we reset the physical, if you reset the DNA and you align it to the soul and you point it at the spirit, I don't know. I think that's where miracles happen.
Right. Yeah, that's, and certainly that's where I get excited too. And let's bring this all back to entrepreneurs, because y'all, if you are listening and you're conscious entrepreneurs, please pay attention to this, because this is critical for your success. So if you are feeling physical dis-ease in your business, if you're having anxiety attacks, if you're getting migraines, if you're vomiting, like whatever, if your back's going out, whatever's showing up for you, address at the level of the physical, but also the level of the mind and the level of your soul. And along those same lines, if you are desperately in fear around sales or money or growing your business or whatever's going on, and you're just addressing it at the level of the mind, I want to encourage you to also see what you can do to physically support being in the energy of abundance instead of fear. What advice your soul has to give you around being in alignment with abundance instead of fear. Christy, is this making sense?
It totally is. It totally is. And so here's even a little exercise that you can use, right? I call it turn it around. And it's a quick quick way, if you're aware that you're doing this, if you're aware that your back hurts, if you're aware that you're in anxiety, if you're aware that you're about to go into anxiety, if you're, you know, any of the things that we go through as business owners and entrepreneurs, if you're aware that it's starting to go down that negative road, feel the feeling, have the thought, right? Notice the thing, whatever it is. But the second you become aware of it, you have to switch it. Right? So pre-create something in your mind that is a better thing, that has a better vibration, a better feeling, a better attitude, a better picture, right? Just have some kind of picture. I tell people, write it down, draw a picture of it, put words to it, know exactly what that thing looks like as if it's finished, right? It's done. You know exactly what the perfect outcome is. Even if you're just making it up because you don't know, make something beautiful up, right? Something amazing. And then the second you notice that negative thing coming up, turn it around, go straight to that positive thing and just sit there and think about that for a minute. Every single time you go to the negative thing, turn it around, go straight back to that positive, whatever it is you created. Sometimes for people, it's literally just a feeling. If all you can do in that moment is stand like Wonder Woman, stand like Superman, whoever the superhero, like come up with a superhero, find a really, really powerful stance inside your own physical being. The second you notice you're going towards that negative road, put yourself back in that stance, right? Come into a different state of being and it will bring you to a different state of mind. If you can hold on to the picture you've painted, like find it, really know it's there, right? You got to come to know it really well. Every time you go negative, bring back up that picture. Keep painting it bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually, that's going to become your reality because that's the thing you keep thinking of. That's the thing you keep going to. Eventually, you're going to be Wonder Woman. You're going to be Superman because that's the thing you keep going to. And you're overcoming the objection. You're overcoming the negative stuff, right? And basically, you're manifesting. Every time you bring up that negative stuff, you're bringing that into your realm. So if you don't want that, what do you do instead? You find something positive, and then you keep doing that thing, doing that thing, doing that thing, doing the positive, beautiful. The positive, the positive.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example. And you're absolutely right. Where you put your attention is what grows in your life, yes. And in your business. Christy, there's a beautiful discipline to doing that, and certainly discipline is absolutely necessary for entrepreneurs to be able to grow and sustain their businesses. And in my experience, it's important to have discipline, but not obligation. This is not like a diet plan where you're going to be suffering your way towards towards abundance. Can you speak into that at all?
You know, I think on the discipline and having some kind of practice that just brings you back to center every time, if you're viewing it as if it's an obligation or as if you have to suffer your way to anything, that's probably an old belief that's locked in your subconscious mind, right? And so now we're back to let's just clear out the subconscious storage locker, because if that negative stuff isn't there, where can your mind go? What could you do if you weren't focusing on this negative stuff? Clear out the subconscious storage locker and all of a sudden you can start putting these things in easier. If you're doing a discipline, whether you think you are or whether you think you're not, and if the discipline is thinking about negative things, wouldn't it be more advantageous to switch the discipline? If it has to be an obligation, obligate yourself into doing that and make it such a strong positive thing, such a good feeling inside your system that you don't want to do it any differently. I want to stay in that good feeling because it feels so much better than the other thing I had been disciplined to from my childhood. I don't ever want to let this feeling go. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. I love that.
Such an interesting difference in just the way you understand the words of what, you know, what we've been taught and how it's been phrased. Mm-hmm. You know, the positive aspect of discipline is so amazing when you actually catch that good feeling and that higher vibration and you're like, whoa, why isn't it like this all the time? Well, you weren't disciplined to it. So that's what we're doing now is trying to discipline the cells to stay in that all the time. And that's literally a physical function. That's a physical operation. That's the chemicals of your body talking. So we want to tune those back to the positive.
Nice. Nice. Great advice. Great exercise. Thank you for that. Christy, how can folks learn more about you?
Well, I am, I'm pretty easy to find. You can catch me on, I'm trying to get my YouTube channel up and running again, so you can catch some stuff on YouTube at Christy Mattoon Mind Rewire. My website is mindrewire.com. And if you go there, there's actually a place where you can grab a free 30-minute session. If you think this is something that might help you, you can jump on one of those with me. It's a strategy session to see if what you're struggling with and what I do are a good match. If it's a good fit, then I'll invite you to work with me. There's also a place where you can get a copy of my book for free, and it's just simply called Change, Rewire Your Mind. So you can grab a copy of that if you want. It comes to you in a PDF. And then, jump on. I'm on Facebook. I'm on, you know, the usual stuff that everybody's on. So you can catch some of my stuff around Instagram. And just look for Mind Rewire. It's all under the same thing.
Wonderful. Christy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. This was a pleasure. What a joy.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.